Emily Dickinson wrote a poem entitled Faith. Faith is a fine invention when gentlemen can see, but microscopes are prudent in an emergency. Faith is a fine invention when gentlemen can see, but microscopes are prudent in an emergency. And yet sometimes we don't have microscopes in our emergencies, do we? But Dickinson's poem speaks to our desire for a tactile reassurance of what is happening. A physical or an incarnational place or thing that we can hold on to when we're in an emergency. We were flying over the Atlantic Ocean. It was the first time I ever went to Europe. 1988, Piedmont Airlines, Raleigh, Durham to Gatwick in London. And we ran into a horrendous North Atlantic storm. I mean, it felt like as an 11-year-old, 10-year-old, that it lasted for like 6 hours. I don't know the reality because the whole plane ride is really only 6 hours. But still, like it felt like it lasted forever. Flight attendants weren't allowed to serve any meals or drinks or anything. We had to stay buckled the whole time. And people were, you know, upset and crying. And it was just shocking in the middle of the night, if you've ever flown over the Atlantic. And no one slept. And I remember my mom said, just cross your fingers and it'll be okay. Now, that wasn't a microscope, but it was the same thing, right? It was just something... a tactile that I could, as a little kid, hold on to give me the faith that maybe we would arrive safely in England. Funny thing, Ashley will tell you that occasionally in the middle of the night, she'll wake up and look over at me, my fingers will cross. That's cute, isn't it? Sorry, my neck's a little stiff, so if I see. But, you know, faith is a funny thing like that, though, isn't it? Isn't faith a really funny thing? Because it seems to sort of fall in between what Dickinson's talking about in that story of flying over Europe, meaning there seems to always be like a childlike faith that we can conjure up, and then the adult faith, right? The sort of grown-up faith. There's the childlike and the grown-up. Now, there's no doubt with the childlike faith that that's part of the reason Jesus calls us all little kids. There's no doubt that's why he uses metaphors like in today's gospel reading about a hen bringing in her brood. It's this idea of children are totally dependent upon their parents. And God, our Father, wants us totally dependent upon us. He wants us to deconstruct, in other words, what we know and trust him. And for many of us, childlike faith may be where we like to live, that sort of Peter Pan, not in a negative way, but like a real sort of innocent, like we just are going to just trust the Lord and we're going to center and secure ourselves in this love. We might doubt at times, but our faith is almost like that piece of rebar in a skyscraper that even though it's bending with the heavy March winds, it's not going to break. We've got it. Now, don't confuse the other things. Don't confuse childlike faith with sort of naive faith or young faith. It's not. It's extremely hard to recognize your dependence upon somebody else. It's extremely hard to humble yourself and put your trust in God, in the one that created us. Now, if we go think about the opposite of childlike faith, this adult faith, and don't use these categories other than just as a way to talk about them in a sermon, okay? It's not kids and adults. It's just categories so we can see the sort of areas of faith that exist in all of our lives. And, ultimately, we live in between both these categories. When we think about seasons in the church life, in our own prayer life, in our own life of faith, that's what we're talking about. There are moments when we've all felt a more childlike faith towards God, and there's moments when we've been in a much more rational, grown-up bucket, right? And sometimes that happens in the same day. But let's plumb this idea of grown-up faith, this category here, this need to cross our fingers, in other words, right? The need for something tactile. Because we get older, as we get older, we don't need to cross our fingers anymore. We know that plane wings are designed to go 18 degrees in either direction, and that extreme turbulence, though may be very scary, rarely, if ever, has brought down an ocean liner or an airplane in the middle of the night. We acknowledge that there are tensions and that we're nervous, but our rational brains come in again, over and over and over again. Now, I'll tell you just a great example of this, right? I've never been under general anesthesia. I was really nervous last Thursday, and I really appreciated each one of your prayers and our time of prayer on Wednesday night, and the emails and the texts and the We Care notes. But I also Googled a long time, like, dangers of anesthesia. Will I die from having anesthesia? I mean, I went through and through and through, right? Because that's this category. That's what I'm talking about. My faith was very much that God was going to see me through, but I could also say God gave me Google. So I was going to Google the heck out of it. What should I eat? I went so far as to be like, what should I eat 5 days before anesthesia? Like all the way down the line, like it matters. But anyway, and then I started to tell the anesthesiologist, I was like, now on Sunday was my last time I had a glass of red wine. I stopped my vitamins on Monday morning and I went through all this stuff. And she's like, have you had anything in the last 8 hours? So I was like, no. She's like, that's all we need. But still, right? That's our brains. That's our brains. That's the illustration of sort of what we think about adult faith. Because there's that childlike part that's there, but at the same time, we know that we need to figure it out. We need to be sort of grown up. There's a great song in the Matilda series, the Roald Dahl book that we just saw last night. Nev was in it at James Madison. Patrick Kennedy, but the James Madison Middle School play. And there's a classic song there called When I Grow Up. If anybody's ever seen Matilda, they know what I'm talking about. Matilda's sort of this precocious girl that goes to this school that has magical powers that ends up sort of rectifying all the wrongs, basically, in her world. But in the middle of the song, in the middle of the show, they sing this. And when I grow up, I'll be brave enough to fight the creatures that you have to fight beneath the bed each night to be a grown up. Isn't that great? I'll be brave enough to fight the creatures that you have to fight beneath the bed each night to be a grown up. In other words, we talk about adult or grown up faith. We're still talking about that childlike faith, right? We're just talking about different machinations of it. We're just talking about our ability to Google or to know that the wings on an airplane might go up and down and we don't need to cross our fingers. But we're still looking for something tactile, in other words, something incarnational. Well, it's not just us that approaches faith like that. There's Abraham, that beautiful passage from Genesis that Karen read for us. Abraham, who's been called the father of nations. And we pick up his plight today in Genesis where he wants a child. He wants a child with Sarai or Sarah. And he's bargaining with God. In other words, his rational brain must have been telling him that he's getting way too old to have a baby because he's old. I can't remember the exact age, but remember, Abraham lives to be like 800 and something, right? So, and you know, if he's got just a little bit of knowledge of procreation, he's like, can I have a baby anymore? But yet I've been promised this, that I will be the heir, that many people will be the descendants of me. How does this work? So God visits him in this conversation. And you notice what God did? It's incredible. God takes him outside of his tent and points him up at the stars. So in other words, the creator of the universe locates these stars and Abraham together, locates his whole creation. And then God affirms that he will be the shield. He will protect Abraham. Of course, protection alludes to offspring. Protecting Abraham's name would mean that he must have a male heir. So then the stars are equated to Abraham's offspring because God said to Abraham, so shall your descendants be. You'll be numbered like the stars in the sky. And then we hear Abraham believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. Simple. If you flash forward to the New Testament, St. Paul uses this exact line in his letter to the Romans and to the Galatians. In his two most powerful treatises on the justification by faith alone, on the paradigm of understanding that we are saved through faith, Paul writes, the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. The faith of Abraham became his righteousness. It's that simple, but we know it's not already, right? Because this isn't the first and last interaction with Abraham. In other words, skip your own interactions with God. Let's just look at Abraham. In fact, in just a few chapters, Abraham's going to get so impatient with God, he's going to take up a little bit of funky business with Hagar and have another baby. He's not trusting God. He'll struggle. He'll push. He'll pull. He'll doubt against this promise, in other words. Yet both of these times, God will keep coming back to him, making these promises to Abraham and Sarah that they will have a baby, that they'll have a boy. This is what faith is all about. It's not something that we conjure up and then instantly get to check off the box and say, here I am, Lord, I believe it's all said and done. And if we have a little moment of doubt, then all of a sudden we believe that our house of cards falls down. Faith is not our constructing of a house of cards, in other words. It really is back to that image of the skyscraper, the rebar in the middle, and the building going like this in the hurricane force winds of life, in the emergencies, in our doubt, in our distress, in our struggles. It's about going like this, but yet it never break, never bending, but not breaking. Because ultimately, faith, and this is what we hear from Abraham, what we hear from Genesis today, faith is not something that we've done. It's something that we've been given. That's it. That's the difference. It's not something that we conjure up inside of us. It's something that God gives us through his son, through Jesus. When we think about the incarnation, aka Christmas, when we think about that baby being born and walking on the earth, we think about God being with us, the Emmanuel, giving us the faith, giving us the gift of faith, the access point that takes us over the chasm between the creature to the creator, from us to God, in other words. There's an incredible poem, which I think so captivates this sort of big idea of faith, meaning that faith is a gift from God given to us, and it lives here with us. We can use categories like childlike or adult-like faith, but ultimately it's this gift of God. This is a poem from Wendell Berry. I'll close with this. Geese appear high over us, pass, and the sky closes. Abandon, as in love or sleep, holds them to their way. Clear in the ancient faith. What we need is here. And we pray not for new earth or heaven, but to be quiet in heart and an eye clear. And to remember that what we need is here. Amen.